We're going to start off by reading some verses in Mark, if you want to turn your Bibles there to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read here the part of the life of Jesus in this Gospel. Mark chapter 4. Jesus had been teaching the people here, as Jesus did most of the places. He traveled around from one place to the next, and multitudes would come to him to hear what he said. And in some of these preceding verses here, in some of these verses in Mark 4, we read a lot of parables and different lessons that he taught them. What we want to start off is in verse 36. After he gets finished with all of his speaking, he was out in a little boat talking to them and some other little boats with him, and then he decided they would cast off to go to the other side. And that's where we want to begin reading, verse 36, Mark chapter 4. It says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So we're familiar with this story. They're going across there, and the storm gets bad, and Jesus is asleep. He's probably tired from all the teaching that he's done, and all the things that come into him. And he's trying to get some rest, and he's asleep. And he's not worried over the storm, but they are. And these, remember, are fishermen that are with him. They know about the storm, and so they thought something to be fearful over. But what we want to notice is the question that they come and they ask him, "Carest thou not that we perish?" They're just looking at Jesus and saying, "You're asleep. You don't even care if we drown. Carest thou not that we perish?" And that's what I want to take our lesson from this morning. Did Jesus care? They thought he didn't care. Does Jesus care if they perish? Does Jesus care if you perish? And they asked him this question, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And we know that Jesus trusted, and he knew the situation, and he was not concerned and worried over it. But Jesus cares. Another occasion that Jesus was answered the same question. We know the story of Martha and Mary, and how that as Jesus goes and was teaching about, they invited him into the house. And that's in Luke chapter 10. We read some verses, Luke chapter 10, of this account. And we'll see, again, Jesus is asked the question, does he care? In Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was encumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Did Jesus not care about Martha's burden? That's what Martha is accusing him of here, that he didn't care that she had to do all the work and that her sister had left her with all of that work. But Jesus said Martha was careful. She was full of care. She was over-concerned with these things. And he also said that one thing was needful. And so he cared about Mary. And he cared not so much that Mary was working, but that Mary was getting her needs met also. Mary had a need to sit and to listen to what Jesus was saying. And Jesus cared about Mary's need. And I think this is Jesus also caring about Martha, telling her that there's something that's needful here, which is to sit and to listen. There was something more important. Spiritual matters were more important in this case than the service that she was doing. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell her, is that He cared. But He cared about spiritual matters. And I think Martha and Mary knew this. They come to learn of Jesus, and Martha learned that Jesus cared. I don't think that Martha and Mary would have went on to be such close followers of Jesus and such close friends as we see through the Bible if they didn't realize that He cared about them. Jesus cared about them, and they learned to know that He cared. And Jesus went on, and He cared about Mary and Martha. And there's much mentioned about Mary and Martha and how that they followed Jesus. And Jesus wept when their brother had died, and they were weeping. Mary and Martha was weeping, and the community had come to Mary and Martha and was weeping with them over the death of their brother Lazarus. And it says, and Jesus wept. Jesus cared for them. He cared to the point that He wept. And I want us to consider these questions. Does Jesus care? And I want us to learn to know of Jesus like Mary and Martha learned to know of Jesus, and to trust that Jesus cares. Another time that we can see that Jesus wept is that He wept over Jerusalem. And that was in the Gospel of Luke, also the Gospel of Luke in verse 19. It was before we see the account where Jesus went and cleared the temple as He comes in and He's going into Jerusalem as a king. It says there that He wept over the city. In Luke chapter 19, we'll start reading with verse 41, where it says that He wept. And He came, and when He came near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least at this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus saw what was coming upon them before it came. He saw their trouble and their problems before they even saw it. Now they had problems, and they were complaining, and in this time they had much concern over what they had, their situation. But He says that they had peace. I think that's what He's saying when He says the things which belongeth unto thy peace. But He knew that there was worse times coming upon them. Some really bad times. And He wept over that. He cared. And as you read through Jesus' life, as you look at the gospel and see the things that he did, see the way that he interacted with people, you'll see it time and time again. Jesus cared for the people. He cared for the people around him. He cared for people in general. People brought to Jesus their problems, their hard problems, the problems that they could not have solved anywhere else. They brought the impossible problems to Jesus. And he cared. He cared about their problems. They brought their lame and their blind. They brought those that were possessed. They brought the lepers. The lepers came unto him. They brought those with all kinds of sicknesses to Jesus. And he cared. They brought the children. And he cared. They brought the sinful to him and tried to trick him, but he was not distracted by their tricks. He still cared. He still cared about people. He cared about them. He cared to teach them. And he cared about the sinful. He cared about the sinner that they brought also. Jesus was not distracted from his caring. They even came to him with those that were dying. And he would go out of his way. And he would go into their houses. Even in the time like when Jairus' daughter, they said, "She's dead already. Don't concern yourself with him. Don't bother the master. There's no hope anymore." Jesus still cared. They were weeping. And Jesus went to the house where they were weeping. And Jesus cared. And you know, all of this caring was a burden on Jesus to have everybody else bring him their problems and to see all of these problems, as we talked about, going to the place where they were weeping and all of this caring. And he had the multitudes that would come to him. Maybe that's why he was asleep in the ship and so tired, because although he was God, he was a man. And he cares for the people. And Jesus proved that he cared. In John chapter 10, Jesus said this. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He's proved that he cares. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He says, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep." Jesus cared for the sheep. And he proved that he cared for the sheep. And he says he was the good shepherd, because he cared for the sheep. And he says that here, that he cared. But he didn't just say that he cared. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to say that we're concerned about you, that we were worried about you. It's easy to say those things, but Jesus proved that he cared about the sheep, because he did just that. He gave his life for the sheep. Does Jesus care if you perish? As they asked him the question in the boat, "Carest thou not that we perish?" He does. He does. He gave his life for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. He did not run away from the great danger, as he was talking about the hireling that would run when he saw the wolf. He did not run away. He proved that he cared. He gave his life. He paid the price. And because of that, we can trust in him. We can know that what he says for us to do is best for us. And we can cast our cares upon him. We can humble ourselves and trust God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you." Because you know that God cares for you, because Jesus proved how much He cares for you, you can cast your cares on Him. And you don't have to have worries of things in this life. Just cast them on Him and know that He cares. And humbly submit yourselves unto God. We can trust that God cares for us. And now I want us to move on to the more challenging part of our lesson this morning. Since we know that Jesus cares for the suffering and for the needy, then shouldn't we? If we are Christians following an example of Christ, then shouldn't we care for the suffering and for the needy? And there are songs that ask this very same question. There are songs that we sing. We have songs in our song books about how that we're the Bible that the world will read. We have songs about rescuing the perishing. That if we are Christ, we will care for the dying. And if we are His body, we will be reaching out to the world with all the care that God showed towards us. We should know how to care for others. In Romans chapter 12, some verses that we are familiar with, but we want to consider these and realize that it's a challenge to us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, He says, "Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit." That's caring for people when we would bless them that would persecute us. That's caring for them when we would want to bless them. We would want to see past their actions towards us where they might be persecuting us, but we would not want to curse them. We would want to bless them. And because we care about people, we see in this next verse, He says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice." Because we care about them, we'll be happy when they are happy. We'll rejoice with them that rejoice. And many times we see in the Bible, we see in the epistles and the letters, how that other Christians, it says that Christians were rejoicing to know of other Christians' faith, to know of the success in the Christian life of other Christians. They would rejoice and be happy over that. We're to rejoice with those that are happy. Rejoice with those that are rejoiced. And that's because we care. We care about their happiness. And when they're happy, we're happy. But we're also called for a more challenging part. We're to weep with those that weep. How do we react to the weeping? We may hear children told this, and we may hear this saying that nobody likes a crybaby. People don't like to hear crying. And it's natural for us to want to go around the people that are rejoicing, to be around them and to avoid those that are weeping. To avoid the weeping. There was a show on TV the other night that was somewhat funny in that state, that way. There was a lady she was crying a lot. And so the man would say to his wife, you go deal with her, I'm stay away. He couldn't stand the crying. But as Christians, it says we are called to weep with those that weep. Not to avoid the weeping. Not to avoid the suffering people. We don't like to be around suffering, but we're called to suffer with the suffering, to endure it. The Bible says where he was talking about the blessings and those that are blessed, He says, "Blessed are they that hunger now, for they shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall lack. And he also went on and he said, Woe, woe unto ye that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. We're not to avoid the sad things, the suffering of this life, to try to put a wall around us, stay away from any suffering, and only go about with the entertainment of ourselves and laughing and enjoying things. We are also to be around the suffering, to suffer with the suffering, weep with those that weep. Why? Why are we called to do that? Because we care. Because Jesus cared about us that much. Jesus cares for us. We should care for others like that. Show our compassion. We're called to have compassion on others and to show to them the compassion of God. As he talks about the members of the body, how the church is like a body, we see another place where he tells us to endure the suffering of one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking here about being members of a body, as you're members of the church. And the church is a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and start reading now with verse 26. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. A care for one another. And it says in the next verse, it says, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. So here again we see about weeping with the weeping. But he says it this way. He says that whether one member suffer, the other suffer with it. Sharing and suffering. And when one member is honored, the other rejoices with it. We're to rejoice and be happy when we see success and honor upon one of our members. Because we care about them. When we care about them, we will be happy for them. And it will make us happy. And when we see them suffering, we will suffer with it. Just like in our body, is what he's comparing here. Just like in our body, the different members, they share in pain. Could you have a toothache and your rest of the body just say, ah, that's the tooth problem, it doesn't bother me a bit. Doesn't work like that. When you have a toothache, it's hard to concentrate on other things. When one part of your body is hurting, it affects the other part of your body also. And that's the way it will be when we are members of the same body of Christ. When we are members together, when we have that care for one another, sometimes we don't realize ourselves as being members of each other. That we are members together. We don't see each other that way. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3 says this. He says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So that's the way that we're to remember those that are suffering. How did he say to remember them? Remember them as bound with them. Remember the suffering as being yourselves also in the body. Have you been ever asked to remember someone? Someone would say, you know, I've got some problems, just remember me, please. Now this is remembering someone. As he's asking here, remember them that are in bond as bound with them. So much so that you're suffering with them. You remember their suffering so much so that you suffer. Now that's remembering somebody. And that's the way we remember suffering, if we care about them. If we care about someone else and we remember their suffering, it will cause us to suffer. Suffer with the suffering. Weep with the weeping. Because we care about them. It makes me think of like a family where they put someone on a special diet. One of the family members is on a special diet and the others might also adopt that special diet. They endure together. That's another way that I think of suffering with one another. And as we think of this, we should treat others that are suffering the same way. And we should feel for them the same way that we would want others to feel for us if we were in those circumstances. And not to just say unto them, you know, just jokingly, there's a saying, "Oh, sounds like a personal problem." That means it's your problem, not mine. We're to bear one another's burdens. The Bible teaches us and calls us to bear one another's burdens. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, says this. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that you render evil for evil. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." We're to be concerned with other people's problems, the unruly. We're to warn them because we're concerned about their unruliness. And we're to comfort the feeble-minded because we care about their problems. We're to support the weak and to be patient unto all men. But not only weeping with those that are weeping, but we weep for those that should be weeping. As we see here that we're to be concerned about those that are unruly and warn them. And Jesus, just like Jesus wept over Jerusalem, where we read before, He wept for those that had loss coming to them. Weep for the lost. Because we care about it. In Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one with meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." He says in verse 2, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're to bear one another's burdens. And in doing this, we will fulfill the law of Christ. We're to care about others. Do people around you know that you care about them? We have to show our love for them. Show the love of God to them by caring about their problems, suffering with them, weep with those with them. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. If we care like Jesus cares, we'll care about our souls. We'll care about the souls of our fellow man. We'll care about spiritual matters. We'll realize that that's the most important thing that they have. And we will care. We will care about the lost. And that's our lesson for us this morning. To know that Jesus cares for us. To know that He's proven it. And that we can trust Him. And that we are to show our care for those that are around us. This morning we want to extend an invitation while we sing this song. If you need to come and make a request of the church, you may come while we stand and sing this song.